Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, Deuteronomy 1 and verse 34. Right after the service, of course, we'll have the meeting for those involved in the youth explosion. And I'll tell you, we need, I need some guys, strong guys. Josh, do you know any? No. I need the table moved back over because that light is shining right on that Lord's Supper. No, do it tomorrow. You know, that's what I appreciate about seniors. They're just so smart. Well, no, let's center it. It's got to be centered. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Whoa, perfect. It's the light. It's not in my eye now. So, all right? Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it. My eye or the... Okay. I need to speak to Patty Pearson, Dan Pfeiffer, and Chuck Pearson. Right after the service, please. All right, just you find me. It's very, very busy. We have a lot going on. But find me. I do need to talk to you right after the service. Deuteronomy 1, verse 34. The Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. And of course, you know why. They had complained and griped and were fearful when they could have entered the promised land, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But the Lord heard the words, and he heard what they said, and he said, none of you, not one of you, shall enter into the land. They'll not see the land, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. And we like that. That's good. Also, the Lord was angry with me. Now, this is Moses. Moses, the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. And we know that. And what a sad thing that is. I mean, Moses, the great leader, Moses, one of the greatest leaders that ever lived, he would not go into the land. He would not see the land as well or go into it to possess it because of his sin that he committed and in smiting the rock. When God told him to speak to the rock, he smote it the first time, and of course the rock is a picture of Jesus Christ, and he would only die once, amen? That's all. He would only die one time. He would not be smitten again. Jesus is not crucified every time you sin. He was crucified once for all, amen? And of course Moses sinned when he, out of anger, because why was he angry? Because the people made him mad. And they got him upset. They discouraged him. And because of that, again, it's no excuse. And had it been an excuse, God would have said, you know, Moses, you're not guilty. It's all their fault. We'll let you go in the promised land. But he didn't do that. Moses was guilty. But again, it was because he said, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. So Joshua and Caleb, and we know that. And it says this, it says, encourage him. Now, I really like that. And I saw that in my Bible, and I got excited about that. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither. And unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Who's going to lead him? Joshua. And what did Moses say? What did God say? He said, encourage him. Joshua, encourage him. Why would we encourage him? Well, because if you discourage him, he might do what Moses did. If you discourage him, he might totally mess up and nobody go in the promised land. So he said, God says, encourage him. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Just those two words, encourage him. Father, please help us to be an encouragement. God, in this world, we know you told us clearly in the scriptures that we needed to meet together, we needed to assemble together, we needed to help one another and encourage one another, and certainly more and more as the days get worse and worse. And I pray that you would help us to do that tonight, to encourage one another. Please speak to our hearts, teach us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Moses here is talking about as the people were to enter into the promised land. God said he gave it to him. God said it was all theirs. Verse 21, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up, possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Again, all of this is just a history. But notice what God had told them before they were to go into the promised land. He said, fear not, neither be discouraged. And then they became discouraged, though. And he goes on and he tells them, reminds them about what took place and how they became discouraged. The Bible says, verse 26, notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us. Isn't it amazing what we do when we're discouraged? Isn't it amazing what we might say? The Lord hated us. I mean, do you ever think that? You don't have to raise your hand, but yeah, sometimes you do. When you get discouraged, when you get so down, so discouraged, you just say, what's God thinking? I mean, why am I having to go through all this? That's what they did. The Lord hated us. He brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy. Yeah, in other words, God, they got discouraged and they made statements like, God took us out of Egypt. He caused all the plagues to come upon the Egyptians. He led us out into the wilderness, led us to the Red Sea, parted the Red Sea, killed all the Egyptian army. He did all of that just so we'd die out here in this wilderness. They said it over and over. Why'd they say it? They were discouraged. They got discouraged. They let little things bother. They let everything bother them. And so they say, verse 28, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. They all got discouraged. One got discouraged. They passed it on to another, and they got discouraged. Then another one got discouraged. Pretty soon everybody was discouraged. And then it led to Moses eventually being discouraged. Boy, how many times did he deal with the people and he became discouraged? And how sad that is, that that's the way that it went. Of course, we know the story. Moses, out of anger, he smote the rock. Look at it. Let's go to it. Numbers 20, verse 7. Numbers 20 and verse 7. Still on the introduction. It's all right. It'll go real fast once we get to the message. Numbers 20 and verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth this water. Thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation their beasts drink. Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. You suppose he's a little upset? You suppose he's a little discouraged? Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. The water came out abundantly. The congregation drank, their beasts also. Why? They were griping, complaining, upset, discouraged, all kinds of problems, and it passed on to everybody else, and it passed on to Aunt Frieda, and it passed on to Uncle Elmo, and where'd that come from? And it passed on to Cletus and Bertha, and it passed on, and pretty soon it passed on to Moses, and he was discouraged. Look, if you will, Deuteronomy 3 and verse 23. Deuteronomy 3:23. Just about done with the introduction. Amen. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. No. Wait. Yes. Thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee. Listen to this. Let me go over. Boy, that might be one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. Can you hear Moses? I pray thee. God, I love you. You're a great God. You've done great things. I pray thee, God, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. I pray thee. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes. It would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Can you imagine God saying, okay, that's it. I don't want to hear it again. Don't ask me again. Why in the world would Moses? I mean, he had led perfectly. He had done so well. Why would Moses disobey God? God said, speak to the rock. And Why did he do that? You know why? Because he was upset. He was discouraged. You know what God did do? Verse 27, get thee up into the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward, northward, southward, eastward, and behold it with thine eyes. For thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua. Listen to me. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. Why would God tell him to do that? Because Joshua would need encouragement. Just as Moses needed encouragement. Hey, you know what God said? God says, Moses, don't you dare gripe. Don't you dare complain. Encourage him. Now, Moses, you've come to me. And with tears, I believe, Moses begged God, please let me go. Please, please, God, please let me go in. God said, Moses, don't say another word again. Don't say another word to me. Don't say another word to him. I don't want to hear any more about it. Encourage him. He's the leader. He's the one. Encourage. Some of you teenagers, you know, well, my parents are, when's the last time you encouraged your parents? Your dad goes to work early in the morning. He works hard at his job. He works overtime. He puts you in a Christian school. When's the last time you encouraged? When's the last time you wrote him a little note and said, thanks, Dad, for working. Thanks, Dad, for putting food in my gut. Thanks, Dad, for working. Mom, thank you for fixing my meals. Thank you, Mom, for taking care of me. When is the last time you encouraged those leaders? I'm just saying, if we don't, what happens? I read this and I thought, you know, Joshua, God knew Joshua would need encouragement. God knew he would need it. Leaders need it. Parents need it. Teachers need it. When's the last time you encouraged your teacher? Well, they gave me an F on my test. They didn't give you anything. You earned an F. I always, you know, it amazes me. Well, you know, it's almost like the teacher has some kind of a choice. Well, let's see. You missed all but one. You got your name right, and you misspelled it. It's like a teacher has a choice in what they're supposed to do. When is the last time? You know, bring an apple for the teacher. And you know, that's not a bad idea. But I'll tell you what they'd love. They'd love just a little note. Thank you for teaching my class. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And encourage them. And, you know, you did it. Boy, that lesson really was good. That was such a blessing. And thank you for teaching that lesson. Thank you for helping me understand this. Thank you for helping. Instead, you know, it seems like it's the other way around. Number one, the reasons for discouragement. Moses knew that Joshua would have a lot of reasons. He'd have plenty. Do you understand there are no super Christians anywhere? I don't know of any, honestly. There's no one that I know of who is never discouraged. Ever. I don't know anybody like that. I don't know any. I know a lot of good Christians. And some of the best Christians are right here in this room. I mean that with all my heart. But there's no one that just always, 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 always is up. Now, they may be up in public. They may be up around you. They may be up, and they should be. And that's what we ought to be. But I'll tell you what, I guarantee, for all those that are up, they water their pillow with their tears at night. I promise you, there are times they're weeping before God Almighty, and they kneel before God, and they cry out to God. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt us to encourage them. All over this room are people that need encouraged. They don't need criticized. They need encouraged. They don't need to know what you think about it. They just need encouraged. I always go back to old Job, you know. And Job, you know, here's his friends. They have a great opportunity to put an arm around him and say, Job, we love you, we're praying for you, and we're with you, buddy. Instead, well, what'd you do wrong, Job? You know, what kind of sin did you? Boy, you really made God mad, didn't you? Huh? How about this? And Job said it right. He said, miserable comforters are you all. You say, well, they might have been right in that. Well, the Bible kind of ends with God knocking them upside the head and blessing Job. But I don't want to get into all that. So, look, some reasons. Why do people get discouraged? And you know, there's so many things. And I can't name everything, but I've just kind of narrowed it down a little bit. You know, like Moses, Joshua would face disappointment. Like Moses, he would face fear and trials and discouraging things. You know, it wouldn't be long after this, Moses would die. And all of a sudden Joshua says, I'm the leader. You know, I'm in charge. And all of a sudden he would realize the weight that is going to go on him. It's like parents here, the weight that is on you. I mean, you kids, you know, hey, I need some money, Mom. Hey, Dad, why don't you give me some money? Dad, this is coming up and I got to have some money for this. And it's kind of like, you know, Dad's made out of money. It's kind of like there's a tree out backyard that grows money on it or something like that. As long as he keeps giving it, you keep your mouth shut. But the first time he said, you know, I just don't have, what? What do you mean you don't have my money? I got to have money. I got to do this and I got to do that. Well, how about a little note? How about a little, you know, Dad, I know you work real hard. I know you work early in the morning. In fact, dads go to work before you get up. Dad, I know you're tired at the end of the day. I appreciate it and encourage you. Dad, what could I do to help you? How could I help you, Mom? What could I do to be a blessing to you? Now, they may faint. But that might be the rest they need. I mean, Joshua's going to face the death of Moses soon. Joshua's going to face a lot of disappointment. Do you know all over this room there's disappointment? Every day, all the time. Things don't go the way we think it should. Could be a health problem. There's people in this room right now. They've got some serious health problems. Encourage them. I get so frustrated when, well, you know, serves them right. No, that you know what? That's between them and God. Are you listening to me? That's between them and God. That has nothing to do with you. You know what we should do? Encourage them. I know somebody that their heart absolutely was broken over something, and I spent a little time with them and talked to them, and they were shocked. And it's a long story, but there was only one goal that I had right there, and that was to encourage that person. That person had hurt me and had done some things to me that weren't right, but I just had one goal, and that was they need encouraged. You know, there's trials, there's problems, there's financial needs, all those kinds of things. You know why we're here together? We're supposed to help one another. Okay, you know, honestly, most of you don't have the answer to the problem the person has. But you know what you do have? You have a smile. You have a little note you could give them. You have an assurance that you're praying for them. Amen? I mean, that would work wonders. So why do people get discouraged? What are the reasons? Well, trials, health, circumstances, the death of a loved one, disappointment. How about this? Loneliness. Look at Psalm 142, verse 4. Loneliness is very discouraging. Psalms 142, verse 4. Here the children of Israel, they go out in the wilderness and they think they're all alone. Even though there's a bunch of them. God's forsaken us. Yeah, I know. We feel that way sometimes. Psalms 142, verse 4. The Bible says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You ever feel like nobody cares? Yeah, we all do. Well, Pastor, you don't. You're the pastor. Oh, yeah, we all feel like that. I mean, there's times you just feel like everybody absolutely hates you. Now, there's a reason why we feel that way. He's called the devil and our flesh, and we listen too much to him. But the truth of the matter is, why wouldn't we make it our goal to make sure nobody does feel that way? Why wouldn't we do all we can to welcome people and tell them something good, encourage them? Because there's a lot of loneliness in the world, and there's a lot of folks that think nobody cares. You say, well, it doesn't happen to good Christians. Well, I don't know, Elijah was a pretty fine fella. I mean, Elijah had just called down fire from heaven. When have you done that? I'm not talking about your grill when you burn up the hamburgers. Right after the fire fell, where was Elijah? Somebody tell me. Under the... Yeah. And he might have been sucking his thumb. You know? I mean, he was discouraged. And you know what the problem was? Eventually it was found out... I'm all alone.
Jezebel's going to stab my gizzard. I'm all alone. I'm the only one.
You know, and we've got a lot of folks think you're the only one. All right, but listen to me. Listen to me. Encourage him. Encourage him. I get calls all the time. People whining about this. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. And college students, oh, you know, everything's terrible, and I miss my mommy, and all these things. And I know all about it. You say, what do you tell them? Be tough. I try to encourage them. Just try to encourage them. Amen. And you know what that means? That means just sitting and listening. Yuck, 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 Pastor, you've been so much help. Thank you so much. God bless you. Goodbye. People are lonely. You know it? We once a year, and I wish we could do it every month, we have a widow's banquet. What a blessing that is. There's some lonely people. I don't know how they do it, honestly. You widows, I appreciate you so much, and you know that. And, you know, we do it at Christmas time. Like I said, I wish we could do it once a month. People feel like they're alone. It's a reason to get discouraged. You come to church and look around. You're not alone unless people leave you alone. Well, I got my crowd I hang with. Get out of your crowd. Go find somebody else. Talk to them. Encourage them. What's another reason for discouragement? Chapter 1, verse 28. Here's one of the things that led to their discouragement. Chapter 1, verse 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven, and moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. In other words, we can't do this. It's not possible. I'll tell you, folks, honestly, you know, what we do is we try to do the impossible. I mean, at Berean Baptist Church, we're a ministry trying to do impossible things. Honestly. Junior church, it's an impossible task to see a young person saved. That's man can't do it. We can't do it without God. It's impossible. Reformers unanimous. That's an impossible thing. Every ministry, you name it, master clubs, all of our ministry, everything we do here. In fact, just being a church, it's impossible. It doesn't even make sense when you look at it. And without God, it'd be nothing. Just be a little social gathering. Well, these people said, you know, the people, they're greater, they're taller, the cities are great, they're walled up to heaven, but didn't God knock down the walls of Jericho? Well, they didn't know that, but I'm just saying, you know, we know this, but the truth of the matter is, sometimes we try to do impossible things, and we get discouraged. We get discouraged. It happens in school. Some students think geometry is impossible. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You're getting older, you know, and we older folks, we understand that. What I used to do and what used to be very possible in my realm, it just seems harder now. You say, well, just face it and get over it. I have to, but I'll be honest with you, sometimes it is discouraging. Sometimes at 9 o'clock, and I'm not in the morning, at night. Usually it's 10 o'clock in the morning that happens. But I'm just, you know, what? And I say, Lord, you know, I used to stay up past midnight, and it was nothing. Get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it was no big deal. Boy, it's a big deal now. It's a big deal now. You say, well, preacher, you know, you wouldn't get discouraged about that. Yes, I would get discouraged about that. And people do get discouraged about that. But the Bible says, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. And we have to trust him with it. But I'm just again, giving you some reasons. Another reason is we're just exhausted. The people became tired. Numbers 21, look at it. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. And there are many verses. I'm kind of skipping some things, but They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They just exhausted, tired. You ever get tired? It'll bring on discouragement. I don't understand. Again, Moses has done so well. God has blessed him so well. Such a great leader. And he hits that rock twice. I just know that he was under a lot of pressure. And he was discouraged. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he was tired of the griping and complaining. I don't know. Reasons for discouragement. Trials. Where's the water? Where's the meat? We're tired of this manna. Loneliness. Impossible jobs. Exhaustion. What else is a discouragement? Another reason. Deuteronomy 1:28. Already read it. Deuteronomy 1:28. But this is always present. And it's sad. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. Yeah, other believers. Our brethren hath discouraged our heart. Verse 35, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see the good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Why? Because they discouraged everybody else, griping. I preach about it over and over and over, and yet it's like a plague. Amen. And somebody gets discouraged and quit. I can promise you this. There are several huge problems here in Berean Baptist Church in people's lives. And had it not been for somebody who was discouraged, making somebody else discouraged, those problems might not exist. And over the years of my ministry as a pastor, I've watched it happen many, many times. And here it is in the Bible. That's why God says, Moses, you encourage Joshua. He's going to face some tough things. He's going to face some things I had to face that were tough on me. Moses, don't say another word. Don't say it again. Don't ask me. And don't say anything to Joshua. Just encourage him. Don't tell him all your problems. Boy, we like to tell everybody all our problems, don't we? Yeah. Have you ever thought it might ruin him? I like the song, Tell It to Jesus. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus alone. I'm wanting us to encourage one another, but I'm trying also to help people that are discouraged. Tell it to Jesus. I mean, I'll try to encourage you. I try to watch people and know what's going on and everything. Try to encourage folks. But look what happens here. We saw the reasons for discouragement, and we left out a bunch, but the reasons. Number two, the result of discouragement. This is what really got my attention. Back to our text in Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 1, and let's look at verse 37. Deuteronomy 1, 37. The Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. So Moses' sin kept him from going into the promised land, but he loves them. And he wants them to go into the promised land. He's not, certainly not wanting them to have to stay behind like he is. But notice what God says. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Now that would get Moses' attention, I think. Hey, listen, Moses, Israel's going to inherit the promised land, just like I said. And Joshua's going to lead them. You can't, but Joshua will. Now, you encourage him. You encourage it. Moses, I know you're hurting. We read it. Back in Numbers. Please, God. Please let me. Moses, I know you don't like this. It's a tough pill to swallow, Moses. Please, God. please, God, forgive me and let me go in. Moses, now I know this isn't what you expected. I know this isn't what you planned, but Moses, you can't say another word about it. Not to me, not to Joshua. Instead, encourage him. Well, but no, Moses, and look what God says. He says, encourage Joshua, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And all of a sudden, Moses thought of the people he loved more than anything else. And I believe with all my heart, Moses did not gripe, did not complain. I would imagine Joshua said, boy, Moses, didn't you talk to God? And didn't you ask God if he'd let you? Well, you know, God knows what's best. Wouldn't that be so good if people would actually say things like that? Wouldn't that be so trusting and so much a show of faith if people just say, you know what, I trust God. I think God really does know what he's doing. And I believe that's what Moses did. I think Moses said, Joshua, you got to understand, God loves you and God loves me. And if God wants me to be up on top of a mountain when I die and not in the promised land, then that's the very best thing for me. And Joshua, I want you to know this. God loves you too. And God's going to take care of you. And it's going to be wonderful. Now, the other side of that could have been, you know, God really did me wrong. It wasn't my fault. I mean, all I did was, what I was mad. I was upset. And the people made me upset. And God made me lead these people. And these people are a bunch of sinners anyway. And it's just not right that I can't go in. It just isn't fair. That's what he could have done. But he said, well, Joshua needs encouragement because he shall cause Israel to inherit it. He's the key. And Moses said, I love Israel. I love Israel more than my own life. I asked God to remove my name rather than remove their names from the book of life. I love Israel, and I love the people, and I love the children. And God, if you're going to let Joshua lead him, then I will encourage him. Even though I might be discouraged myself. That's so good. He shall cause. I just often wonder who it is that shall cause your young person to make the decision that's going to change their life forever. If you knew who that was going to be, wouldn't you encourage them? Or would you just kind of hope they quit? Y'all listening tonight? I've often wondered, who is it? Who is it that shall cause them? What about that nursery worker? I don't know what all goes on in the nursery. You know, I'm just saying, is that important or is it not? Why wouldn't you encourage them then? He shall cause. It's going to be up to Joshua. He'll cause them to inherit Israel, Moses. And it got Moses. Wow. I guess I better encourage him then. I wonder who it is. Young person, I wonder just how big a part your parents will have in what you do with your life. I just wonder. Yeah. You tear them down, you roll your eyes at them, you disrespect them. I just kind of wonder. Well, I wish you wouldn't even go to church. You're rah, rah, rah. You know, and boy, you know, it's just a step away from being backslidden. When they're not going to church. I've heard the words. I've heard the kids say it about their parents, and I've watched their parents leave church. And I watched the whole family ruin their lives. I'm just saying, he shall cause. Could it be the youth director? Could Brother Caleb have some words that he'll say, some influence that he'll have, a message he'll preach? That'll literally change your young person's life. They will make the decision that changes their life. You say, well, if I knew that, I'd... No, wait a minute. Yeah. Could it be Mrs. Potter? There's going to be something. There's going to be some time. There's going to be a place. Could it be a Sunday school teacher? I'm just saying, what could it possibly be that they're going to do that is going to cause them to do whatever it is that God wants them to do, which we all know is the best thing. It's beyond making money. It's beyond popularity. It's beyond fame. It's beyond all those things. It is the crucial decisions of their life. Verse 39, moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither. And unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. And Moses said, I'm going to encourage him, because I love those little ones. Yeah, what's the result of discouragement? People don't go in. People don't know the Canaan life, the walk with God life, the Spirit-filled life. People don't know what it is to walk with God and to have their prayers answered and to get something out of their Bible when they read it. There is an effect on others when we're discouraging. I ask you this tonight, what will your children not possess because of your discouragement? What will somebody else not possess because of discouragement? Will they not possess salvation? See, to me, that's why we need to encourage one another. Because we need each other. We need each other. What will they not possess? The result of discouragement is they don't possess something they were supposed to possess. And the last thing, number three, is the request for encouragement. And that's really what I want to leave with you tonight, because there's so much at stake. Encouragement. Well, that my Sunday school teacher, he's a tough guy. He doesn't, little note. You don't know. You just don't know what that might do. Thank you, teacher, for teaching my class. I sure appreciate it. Request for encouragement. If you're discouraged tonight, I would ask you, ask God for encouragement. Three ways to request encouragement. First of all, in the presence of God. That's what David did. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, we'll not turn to it. Well, we might as well, because we're going to go to another verse there. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. But the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. That is by far the best way to get encouraged. He got alone with God. David was greatly distressed. The people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And you just get alone with God and you spill your heart out to God. Amen. The presence of God, that'll encourage you. Here's another one, the promises of God. Verse 8, Deuteronomy, or 1 Samuel 30. David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Well, that encouraged him. Yeah. God's word, promises of God. When God makes a promise, it's always true. It's always right, always going to happen. You need to get in the Word of God when you're discouraged and read it and read the promises of God. The presence of God, the promises of God, and then the last way to get encouraged is the people of God. The people of God. Church. Church is more than singing, preaching. That's all part of it. It's a good thing. The church is hurting people and helping people. There's a lot of hurting people every week, if you only knew. I don't even know all of it. A lot of people going through tough, tough times. We need to encourage each other. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 23. You ought to write this verse down. Proverbs 15, verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Isn't that good? Everything's miserable. I can help you get some joy. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Amen.
Like that.
Okay, well, that's why you're a grump. That's why you are the epitome of discouragement. I'll try to encourage you, but I don't know what to tell you. But I can tell you this, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And the answer is not griping. The answer is not complaining. The answer is not criticizing. The answer is a word spoken in due season. How good is it? A word spoken in due season. When's due season? When you see somebody in tears. When you know somebody's going through a tough time. I don't know how many guys are laid off here in the church. When's the last time you inquired and talked to them about it? How's things going? How are things going for you? A word spoken in due season. Due season's when somebody's going through a tough time. Yeah, well, so-and-so, they sure deserve that. You know, why don't you get saved? I would think if somebody's down, that's a due season that maybe I need to speak a good word. How good is it? Well, I'll tell you what, I've received some of those words spoken in due season. It's good. It really is good. I keep all my little notes, all my little drawings. I got a nice little card the other day. I have no idea what the thing is, but it sure meant a lot to me. You say, preacher, if you don't know what it is, how's it? Because I know who it came from, and they love their preacher. That's a word spoken in due season. It just comes at the right time. Wouldn't you like to be one of those people that sends that little card, that little note, that just literally saves somebody's life? It just literally helps that person to go on and do what they were supposed to do that is going to absolutely change your life. Because we're a church here. We all affect each other. You work in the nursery. Some of you work in junior church. You teach their kids. You work with their families. You help their grandparents. You work with their mom and dad. You teach their parents in your Sunday school class. You do this. Everybody helps everybody. Everybody works together in this thing. And it just seems like we would want to encourage one another because we all need to make it. Because we need each other. Just about done. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. I love this verse. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation? Who's that? Well, the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Does that say any trouble? Does that mean if they sin, should we try to comfort them and help them? Yeah. This says any trouble. By the way, does sin cause trouble? Oh, does it ever. How do we do it? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See, so you get comforted by God, and God's, what's he doing? Well, he's comforting you, but he's also teaching you something. What's that? He's teaching you how to comfort. Why do you suppose he teaches us how to comfort? So we can sit at home and pout? No, so we can go out and help somebody else and encourage somebody else. Comfort and encourage. God helps you. You help others. I hope we have a revival of sending little notes, cards, smiles, talking to, encouraging. Because that's why we're here. That's why we're here. People sitting with people. People getting breaking away from the little clique and going to other, not the clicks. But people taking people out to eat and having them over and saying nice things. That's why we're here. That is why we're here. One of the reasons to encourage one another. I close with Numbers 10, verse 29. Not a verse that is usually used. Numbers 10, verse 29. But it's a good one. Numbers 10, 29, Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we're journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. He said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. He said, leave us not, I pray thee, For as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. I wish we would all do that. God, whatever good you do to me, I'm going to do to somebody else. You're so good, God. There's not a person in this room tonight that could stand up and say anything about the goodness of God that's negative. Not one. You can say how you perceive things. You might gripe about some circumstance. God is always good. Always good. Shouldn't we be good? We need to encourage each other. You need to encourage our teenagers. They, you know, it's like, well, you're a teenager. You don't have problems. They got a lot of problems. They have all kinds of problems. Our young people have problems. Our college kids have problems. Everybody, this whole room is just a big old room full of problems. I mean, everybody does. But look, encourage one another. And remember Moses as God is dealing with Moses' discouragement. He's not going to go in the promised land. Moses, here's what I'm telling you to do. Don't say another word to me about it. Moses, don't say anything to anybody else about it. But see that man over there? Encourage him. Because he's going to lead Israel, and you love Israel. Somebody has an influence, an effect on somebody you love, encourage him. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for speaking to my heart with this passage of Scripture. Lord, help me to encourage folks around this church and other pastors and friends that are going through hard times. Help us to be an encouragement. Lord, we hear about people falling all the time. It should break our hearts, and we should know that those who are hurting are just a step from falling. Help us to encourage them. Bless our invitation. Bless the youth explosion this week. Save souls. And help a group of young people come into this church who will need encouragement. Please bless now, we pray in Jesus' name.